The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
Gasper.
Hey, Murray.
All right, welcome in, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Gasper and Murray, no Murray though, Arcan sitting in for the second straight weekend here. Chris Gasper, starting to see a bit of a pattern forming. I know last weekend Murray was getting married, right?
That's correct.
On the side of the road somewhere. Best wedding ever. And this weekend, I don't know, he just decided, I don't want to see Chris this weekend, I'm out of here. You guys, you saw him yesterday, right?
I did. I saw him on Felgren Mass.
So what's his deal? He's just taking a long weekend?
I think, look, you know, both Jim and I are very busy during football season.
Right.
Because Patriots pre and post. And so during that time, you know, Jim is working 7 days a week. And so I think he just wanted to see if he could get a little blow before, you know, the season starts. Because there's not going to be much opportunity to do that once the season starts for real. So I think that was sort of his rationale.
That makes sense, I guess. It's the same rationale for Zoe and Beetle. Right? Every Thursday and Friday in the preseason, they take those days off.
Take those days off, because during the season, you're not taking them off.
In turn, it means that myself or Jones, or sometimes even both of us, have to do the night show and then get up early, come in, do the morning show, because we're not the delicate geniuses that they are. But then eventually it comes back, and then they have to, you know, basically lock themselves in the studio for the next 4 or 5 months. So anyways, Arcand in for Murray, Gasper alongside. We have cut down day going on right now. We've seen a bunch of cuts already here. Nobody really interesting or important. Braxton Berrios, I guess.
Sure.
I feel like that's one we were all sort of anticipating since he didn't play much in the last two games or at all, really. A couple of these tight ends no one cares about have been cut. We'll let you know if anybody interesting gets released. Are you expecting any, like, holy crap releases today?
Not really. I mean, you know, I'm not expecting, like, a Jerron Harmon, you know, type of release or somebody like that. I think that they'll sort of get, you know, maybe you see, say, a Landon Roberts, familiar names, but I would be stunned if it's like Demaryius Thomas or Jerron Harmon or somebody like that getting released at this point. That would surprise me. I thought that LeSean McCoy release was a little interesting in Buffalo.
Yeah, that actually was. And I know that they were not wanting to pay him and that they probably shouldn't keep him around. I mean, he makes a lot of money anyway, but we just have a little bit of breaking news here right now. Jadeveon Clowney has been traded to the Seahawks. Where do you see this?
Jay Glazer is reporting.
Glazer's got it? Okay.
They have agreed to a trade.
How about Scoops Glazer over here? They have agreed to a trade to send Clowney. I think if you'll remember yesterday, the previous discussion was that he was going to go to Miami. Miami was going to trade Tunsil for Clowney in a first, but then Miami said, no, we want more than that. Which I thought was unbelievable.
And Clowney didn't want to go there.
And also that, too. So, yeah, it sounds like now Seattle and Houston, this is according to Glazer, Seattle and Houston have agreed to a trade, Jadeveon Clowney to the Seahawks. So that's good. He won't be in the AFC East, I guess. Some breaking news right there. But before we get into all the other cuts of the day, there's one little bee that's been in my bonnet for about, I don't know, 24 hours now. Ever since it came out that Duke Dawson was getting traded to the Denver Broncos.
Yes. Unburden yourself, Arcan.
I'm going to. Because I had a, it's mostly like a Twitter thing, and I know this is annoying, people talking about Twitter stuff, but I was watching the reaction to this trade. And people, first of all, I think everybody who reacted to this trade was wrong in their own special way. The people who are saying that Duke Dawson was a bust, I think you're wrong. He's not a bust. He was injured last year, and this year they have a very stacked secondary, and they didn't have room for him. That doesn't make him a bust. But I also really, really love the Patriots Twitter people who get so upset when you point out that Bill missed on a pick. And that happens every single time. It happened with Jordan Richards. It happened with Cyrus Jones. It happened with lots and lots of different...
Rozai Dowling.
Wheatley.
The list goes on.
It does. It's a long list,
we
okay?
We can go to wide receivers, Chad Jackson,
sure.
Taylor Price,
and it's not
Aaron
to say,
Dobson.
that Bill is not good at drafting. Obviously, he's tremendous at drafting, and when he misses on guys in the second round, usually in those same drafts, he hits on guys in like the third, fourth, and fifth rounds. It's not anything really against him. It's just pointing out that sometimes these draft picks don't work. Jordan Richards, bad draft pick. Dominique Easley, terrible draft pick.
I was okay with Easley. They took a flyer there. They took a chance. The guy was a top 10
talent. First round pick in that he didn't ever play. That was a bad pick, though.
No, I don't think it was a bad pick because you knew you were taking a risk. You're like, here's a top 10 talent at 31. Top 10 talents don't drop to 31 unless there's risk. They decided we can take a risk. It didn't work out. I didn't have a problem with that one. Like, you know, they knew there was a chance that guy might not pan out, but if he did, he was going to be really good, you know? And so they decided to take a risk. I'm fine with that.
So that wasn't a bad, like, so what do you think is the worst draft pick Bill's made?
Ooh.
If it's not Easley, I mean, I would say it's Easley.
In any round?
No, like in the first, like the worst high profile pick he's made, like first or second round.
Jackson.
Yeah,
Jackson?
I mean, Chad Jackson was pretty bad because they traded up to get him, and the pick they traded ended up being one that Green Bay used for Greg Jennings.
That's true. That's pretty bad. I don't know. I still think it's
pretty
Easley.
Bad.
You use a first round pick and a guy with two bad knees, he doesn't play. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, a self-fulfilling prophecy
well,
there.
Well, Easley spent more time in a Patriots uniform on the field than Duke Dawson ever.
That's
did.
A good point. He certainly did. I don't think that Duke Dawson was that bad of a pick. I honestly don't.
Okay.
I know they traded him away and got back a sixth or whatever
it
is.
You do realize they had to, like, attach a seventh to him
just to
get rid of him.
I realize that. But they did get something back.
And they traded up to get Duke Dawson.
True. They did trade up to get him. And he wasn't, obviously, I'm not saying it was a good pick.
Okay.
It was not a good pick. But I don't put it up there with the Jordan Richards and the Cyrus Jones of the world. I just don't. Because rather than releasing him because he sucked, they had to get rid of him because they didn't have any room for him in a stacked secondary. That's different,
that's
I
fair.
Think.
But I would just argue, Arkan, that if the rest of the league thought the guy could play, then there'd be people banging down their door to say, well, we know you have to release him, but we also know what the waiver wire order is, and he'll never get to us.
That's a good point.
And we think he's really good. So, like, here's a fifth-round pick. You don't have to give us anything. Just give us a fifth. We want Duke Dawson. Like, Duke Dawson's tape is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of the league wasn't exactly banging down the door to the Patriots to get Duke Dawson. And they had to attach a seventh just to get anything for him.
That's true. And they might have just released him otherwise if they couldn't get the Broncos on board. But for a guy who was injured all of last year and didn't play, I mean, he was on IR just like every other rookie last year.
That's true.
And so I sort of look at that and think he was injured. He, you know, was pretty good in camp, I thought. I thought he'd actually looked good in some of those games that he played, and he had a pick in that last game. And they end up getting something back for him. So I don't put it there. But just the histrionics you get when you say that Bill missed on a pick. Well, he already usually hits on this, and he always hits in the later round. Yeah, that's fine. We know. We're aware that Bill Belichick is better at this than pretty much everybody. But he misses sometimes. And pointing that out is okay. It's not like we're tearing down Bill Belichick. No one's trying to do that. If you try and tear down Bill Belichick's drafting record, you end up looking like an idiot because he's great at drafting. He's made some great draft. I think this past draft class is tremendous.
He is a great drafter, team builder. I would just say if you try and tear down Bill Belichick's draft record, it's very difficult to do unless you go to certain specific positions.
Certain years,
but I'd say certain positions.
Right.
Like, I would say overall, you know, drafting, wide receivers and corners hasn't worked out great.
Not really. No, you're right.
I mean, Asante Samuel was great. Don't get me wrong there. I'm not saying they've all been busts, but I'd say overall, you know, certain teams are good at certain things. You know, the Steelers are really good at drafting and developing wide receivers. The Patriots traditionally have not been. But the Patriots are great at, you know, the offensive and defensive line. I think they're really good at that. So it goes both ways. What's annoying to me, and I think this is where you're eventually heading, is like, okay, we can't just talk about Duke Dawson. If we talk about Duke Dawson, it's like now we have to bring up all the undrafted guys.
Right.
And it's like they're amazing at that. The Patriots are the best in the league at undrafted guys. There's no question about it. But what do those two things have to necessarily do with one another? And if it's just about the draft and talent evaluation, then I think even they would go back and say, geez, you know what? We probably should have drafted that guy instead of risking that he is an undrafted guy who will sign with us. Because the undrafted guys, they can sign with whoever they want. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not the same. Like, there's a risk there that somebody offers them more money or somebody offers them a better opportunity, and you don't get that guy. That's why the draft is so important, because you take them, they're yours.
Yeah, and also, I mean, it's pretty obvious who the best draft pick Bill's ever made is. I think we all can agree on that. But when you want to look the other way and say, well, who are some of the picks that he's missed on? People just lose their minds. I mean, they melt down on Twitter. Here's a list of all the great play and all in this year. All these players were drafted that year. They didn't stick around either. Not the point. Not what we're getting at. It's about Bill Belichick, and we agree that he's the best. but you can also point out some of the times he's missed. I don't even think Duke Dawson was that big of a whiff. I don't think it was a great pick by any means. And I think that you can see that because they drafted Juwan Williams in the second round the very next year. You don't do that if you have a sure thing in Duke Dawson, unless they just loved Williams so much they couldn't pass him up. Okay, fine. But he's not on the team anymore. It was a second round pick that's out the window. You get back a sixth, and that's it. And that's okay to point out. It's okay to say that.
I agree. And the one thing I would just say on it, too, is that it's not just about the player, right? You're talking about an organization that builds things based on value. What's the value of a second-round pick?
Right.
Take the player they picked out of it. What else could they have done with that pick? Could you have moved up in the draft to get another player? Could you have sent it for a veteran guy? Could you have moved that pick to get a tight end? And if you go back and without getting, you know, really in the weeds on that particular draft and the trades that they ended up making, the bottom line is that between the pick they had from Garoppolo in the second round and the pick they ended up trading up to get Dawson. So you're talking 43 to 56. A guy like Dallas Goedert was drafted, a tight end, a young tight end who's on Philadelphia now. So would you have been better off just sort of staying where you were and taking Dallas Goedert than sort of bouncing around the board? And yes, you picked up all these future picks and then you had to get back up for Dawson. So you could look at it that way too. You know, were you better off with Dallas Goedert or Duke Dawson and some of these other picks that brought you some guys like Damien Harris, who could be very good? Mm-hmm. So you have to sort of look at it that way, too, I think.
I have to warn you, Gasper, I probably should have done this at the beginning. I'm a little cranky today.
No, I like it.
A little on the cranky side. It's not you. It's not Murray. It's a little bit Tucker Silva back there behind the glass. But really what it is it was Alston Christmas last night. I live in Alston, and if you know anything about Alston Christmas, you know it can get very loud. It can get kind of violent if two people see a dresser or something that they both really want outside my window all night long. Ah, oh, my God, I want that chair. Ah, just get this out of the dumpster. Like, people were scavenging last night, and they weren't doing it quietly. And it went on all bleeping night, and I'm in a mood. So we'll get through this. I promise we'll get through this together. 617-779-0985 is the fight. It was like raccoons fighting for a bagel. That's what it sounded like all night long. So, yeah, we'll get to all of that. And also,
can I just say quickly?
Yes.
You can find some good stuff in the trash. My office chair that I've used for like 5 years in my office at home. Yeah, I pulled that out of the trash.
Really?
I did.
I got a vacuum cleaner yesterday. I got a vacuum cleaner. It works perfectly.
Simple Human? I have one of those Simple Human trash cans that I pulled out of the trash.
What is a Simple Human trash can?
You know, like they're like square and they're nice and they're like stainless steel and you put like your foot down and the thing pops up. People
oh,
like
sure.
Them.
Right.
Yeah, okay. they're really nice. I mean, those things aren't cheap at like
I think
they're
around like $50.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
$50 for a trash can?
I got one for free, Tuck.
Wow.
For free. You know, just had to hose it down pretty good.
Wow-wee.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get to some more things related to what's going on in the city today. And also, it's cut down day. We'll let you know all the players that are getting cut from the Patriots. And also, I have a thought on some of the trades that were made this week, all for offensive linemen, and why that sort of seems a little strange now, seeing that all these offensive linemen are getting cut and you can have them for free. We'll do that right after this.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bill, what can you tell us about the two offensive linemen that you acquired? And was that, are you still thinking through how you're going to do things week one as far as the starting unit in the wake of the David Andrews news?
Well, we'll do whatever we think's best for the team, Greg.
Bill Belichick, forthcoming as always there. I think that was Bedard, right? What other Gregs are there?
Yeah, that was Greg. Team.
Must be. I should know his voice by now, you know? Well, like we don't hear him every Wednesday or Tuesday, whatever it is, on Felger and Maz. Anyway, this is Arcan and Gasper, Big Joe Show alongside as well. Tucker Silva behind the glass taking your phone calls at 617-779-0985. Gasper, obviously the question there was directed towards David Andrews and his situation with his lungs and the blood clots and how that's now... I don't know. I don't want to say thrown the offensive line into chaos. I don't think that's necessarily happened, though you wouldn't know it from what some people are writing. But in terms of the depth there, swing tackles, backups, things like that, it does seem like they're scrambling a little bit to fill in some of those gaps. If Ted Karras is the next guy up at center, how much is this going to affect, in your opinion, the regular offensive line? And also, what do you think of these trades that were made this week? Because there was three trades made for Bodine over there in Buffalo, Illuminor from the Ravens, and Corey Cunningham from Arizona. And I saw all of those trades. One of them cost you a fourth. I think Illuminor was a fourth. and you got back a sixth, so you really only, you know, moved back a little bit. I still
they,
thought
they gave up the same thing for Illuminor that they gave up for Dwayne Allen a couple years back.
I thought the fourth was a high place to start for a guy like Illuminor, but
agree.
Okay.
They did have two fourths, though.
That's true. One from the Bears.
Bears, correct.
Yeah. Now that you're seeing all these guys get released, I saw John Jerry just got released by the Bengals. A couple other names there that I recognized. I don't know if they're what their status is or if they're worth taking a flyer on. But in a situation like this, you have to really kind of work on the fly here. Why not wait until cutdown day, see what you can pick off the scrap heap, and then when you're done with that, start trying to swing these trades? Didn't it seem like they were going a little crazy there this week with the trades?
Well, I mean, to me, I think, again, actions speak louder than words in sports, and I think it speaks to the depth of their concern about their depth on the offensive line. They identified these specific players. They weren't sure that they could wait to get these guys on the waiver wire, and so they said, hey, because you got to remember, that the way the waiver wire works at this point in the year, it's still based on last year's order of finish. So the Patriots, as Super Bowl champions, are last.
Mm-hmm.
And so factor that into this too, Arcan. They know that it's unlikely that, you know, some of the guys they want or all the guys they want are going to fall to them. So that puts you in a position where you do have to give up these draft picks. And we've watched an entire preseason of the Dan Skippers and the James Ferences out there. And I just think that despite what they've said, and I know Scar said, we'll be fine. Well, I think deep down, you know, that what are they going to say publicly? Rip these guys? They know those guys aren't good enough. And they knew they had to upgrade. And factor in the David Andrews news, which I think threw them for a loop. And you look at that, and I think that explains why they're giving up these draft picks and why they're making these moves to try and solidify this offensive line. I mean, and this goes back to me to the beginning of training camp and some of the prognostications about how deep they were and how it would be impossible to make some of these cuts. And it's like they are really deep at some positions, like cornerback that we've talked about with Duke Dawson, but at some other positions, they're perilously thin, and I think offensive line and tight end are two of those.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Illuminor, and this was, I think, in Mike Reese's write-up. It says ESPN, and I assume it's Reese because he usually does these Patriots write-ups. It looks like an aggregate. But did you see this, the Illuminor description? From it may have been coming out of Baltimore. I'm not exactly sure.
I saw a few things out of Baltimore. Jameson Hensley, who I think is the ESPN or used to be the ESPN Ravens writer, had chimed in.
Okay, this may have been him. I see Reese at the top in the video, so I don't exactly know. All it says is ESPN. Doesn't give an author. But listen to this paragraph about Illuminor. It says, a fifth-round pick in 2017, Illuminor was Baltimore's starting left guard all spring, but fell out of favor after he failed a conditioning test to open training camp and was unable to stay on the field due to injuries. That's the first sentence. Sentence number two. When he got on the field, he lacked discipline, got flagged frequently for false starts, period. Number three, Illuminor has the size and versatility to play guard or tackle, but hasn't shown the toughness to be a consistent contributor. And that's it. That's all they wrote about him. That's all we got on the guy. That's three sentences of suck right there. And they traded a fourth-round pick for him. Like, I look at that and I think that guy wouldn't have been around. You know, a guy with a scouting report like that, he wouldn't have been sitting there at the top of the trash heap at the end of this thing on cutdown day. Like,
he would have been. But again, the problem, Arcan, is that there are other teams
could have gone for him.
They're at the end of the line. So, yeah, Illuminor's probably was going to get cut by the Ravens. But if they want to get these guys, they can't wait for the waiver wire. And that's sort of the issue for some of these guys, is they can't wait for the waiver wire. They have to give up draft picks, or otherwise these guys aren't going to get to them.
True. But don't you sort of feel, Gasper, deep down that no matter what happened, no matter who they traded for, or even if they didn't trade for anybody and just waited until today or tomorrow and only got the guys that fell to them in the waiver process, don't you still sort of feel like Scarnecchia would have figured it out? Like, I'm kind of that mindset now where it seems like doing anything extra to bring in these guys, especially when you're scrambling like this, just seems like a waste of assets when you don't need to. You have a pretty solid system here. You can bring guys into it.
Yeah, I think here's the thing is you don't know who's going to fall to you, right? And who's to say that they're actually better than Dan Skipper or Ferentz? What if they're the same talent level? You know, if we're going to subscribe to that, and trust me, I am as down for Dante as anybody. He's an offensive line alchemist. I've always said that. But if he can't get it to work for Ferentz or Skipper with an entire preseason, then what makes you believe that if he gets equivalent talent on the waiver wire, he'll be able to make it work with these? I think they went and got these guys because they feel like they're NFL talent, whereas the other guys they have are not. And you know what, to me, Arcan, is sort of the untold story of all these offensive line moves?
What?
Because we talked about draft bust, and I'm not saying the guy's a bust. I want to be clear on that. I'm just saying that to this point, I think they expected more from him, Yelder Froholt. To me,
I thought you were going to say Isaiah Wynn.
No, the real story is Froholt. They used a fourth round pick on him. Mm-hmm. In 2015, they used a fourth round pick on Shaq Mason. He was pretty much ready to go, you know, day one. He was a guy that you could plug in as a starter.
Yep.
Froholt, I think, was behind where they thought he was, and I think that necessitated them making some of these moves. If Froholt's ready to go, then maybe you don't have to make these trades. But now it's like Froholt's not ready. Ferentz can't really play, and neither can Skipper.
NFI, yeah, you've got a couple of situations.
So now you got to go and just get guys that you feel like are NFL talent. Like, I think that was the biggest thing. Like, are these guys that are talented enough to play in the NFL physically? And then from there, Dante can figure out the rest. Because I think what they saw was the guys that they were relying on for depth weren't up to NFL standards at this point.
Yeah, that's probably the case here. What do you make of some of the roles these guys are expected to have? Illuminor, I guess, is more of an inside guy.
Sure.
Cunningham, I think, is expected to be the new swing tackle. And
yeah.
Bodine, I guess, is Karras's backup. Is that about right?
Yeah, let's see. Let's see how it all shakes out. I mean, I think, you know, maybe there's part of the Patriots that feel like Ted Karras is better suited for a backup role, or they want to just make sure there's some competition there. I think we're all assuming that Karras will be the center, but maybe they sort of feel like, hey, let's go get somebody who's played this position in the league and just protect ourselves in case Karras is more of a role player type of guy. So they're going to, you know, this is what they do a lot of times. They'll throw it all against the wall and see what sticks. It reminds me in some ways of going back to 2014. Do you remember who the starting guards were week one in Miami in 2014?
Was one of them Jordan Devey?
Correct.
And the other one was Cameron something?
It was not Cameron Fleming.
Cameron Fleming?
Cooper? It was Marcus Cannon.
Oh, Cannon. Marcus Cannon. There you go.
Before they figured out he absolutely could not play guard. But bringing up Cameron Fleming, he did start in that infamous game against the Chiefs. He started at right guard in that game.
He was right guard or right tackle?
I think he was right guard in that game.
But that was the tuba player, right?
Yeah, Jordan Devey was the tuba player.
Jordan Devey was the tuba player, okay.
But my point is, as bad as that looked for those first four or five games, you know, they eventually figured it out. So I think, you know, their starting offensive line should be very good. Really, the only spot and question, I think, is center. And so they'll figure it out. They'll find out the combination that works. It just might take a couple games.
All right. Speaking of things that took a couple games, we finally saw Demaryius Thomas and Josh Gordon in Patriots uniforms catching passes from Jarrett Stidham against the future plumbers of the tri-state area there on the New York Giants. We'll talk about that, how those guys looked, right after the update here from Joe Murray.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Well, first off, I want to be a part of it for sure. Just being around, watching the guys work, watching the guys week in and week out from Detroit to Tennessee. You know, we got a lot of potential, but it's a lot of guys around the league that's, you know, I feel like going after the Patriots, because I know when I was on other teams, we was going after them. So, you know, we might look good on the roster, but we got to go out every week and, you know, get better and better every week. So if I could be a part of that, I'll be happy.
Number 88, Demaryius Thomas speaking there after the Patriots. Well, they lost, actually, to the Giants. I almost said their win over the Giants. Didn't beat them. They lost at the end. Got shut out in the second half. Jarrett Stidham throwing to, I don't even know who he was throwing to in that second half. I didn't recognize any of those people.
Jacoby Myers.
Was Myers out there?
Yeah, he was out there.
Okay.
He played a lot of snaps. Ryan Davis.
All right. Ryan Davis, that's the other slot guy, right?
He's already been released.
Okay, he's gone.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I wasn't. Damon Patterson, was he out there? Gunner? Gunner was out there.
Gunner
out there looking
gave up
like
the game-winning touchdown.
Looking like a kamikaze. Yeah, he was not great in the secondary, but
he actually was very good, I thought, Arcan. I mean, that last play, he just got posted up because he's short.
Yeah.
You know?
Tough play. Tough spot for him to be in there. But I enjoyed watching him. I don't know if he's going to make the team or not. I did enjoy watching him. If it comes down to Gunner and Jacoby Myers, who do you think they go with?
Jacoby Myers. You know, they might try and sneak Gunner on the practice squad here and see if they can do it that way. I mean, some other team might pick him up. But Jacoby Myers, I think, is more of a frontline wide receiver. I think that Gunner's sort of a little bit of a project.
Yeah, I would agree with you there, too. We saw in the first quarter, and it was really the only part of the game worth watching, Demaryius Thomas, Josh Gordon, and even Julian Edelman out there. For some reason, I have no idea why, didn't seem like the hand was all there and all ready to go. His first play, he makes a catch, gets slammed to the ground, walks up, sort of flexing that thumb, didn't see him again. So we can debate the wisdom of that whole plan. But really, for me, it was Gordon Jordan and Thomas and seeing them out there and what they could do against, yes, the third and fourth and fifth and sixth stringers there for the Giants, who probably aren't going to make the team. It was still good to see, especially Thomas, him out there making catches and showing what he can do and showing that if he is going to get a guaranteed spot on this team, which I think now we can all agree he is he going to actually contribute anything? And I think after that, you can't say no anymore, right?
No.
After the Houston Texans kind of released him and he didn't do much with them, and a pretty good quarterback over there too, it's the first time we've really actually seen Thomas do anything. And I was a little worried that he's coming off of a ruptured Achilles, and is he going to be able to move and jump and run and sort of cut and all these other things? He looked pretty good to me out there.
Yeah, I mean, he did. You know, and look, I think people have sort of misconstrued my stance on Demaryius Thomas. I'm not anti-Demaryius Thomas. I'm not rooting against Demaryius Thomas. I just was stunned that the moment he was activated off PUP, it was like, well, Patriots have the best wide receiving core in the league. And it's like, well, hold on a second. This is a guy who's 31 years old, mm-hmm. who's coming off a torn Achilles. He's torn both Achilles in his career. He was trending downward when he was with Denver last year. Did a good job, obviously, with Houston. I just feel like some people think this, you're getting like 2012, 2013 Demaryius Thomas, which, you know, you're not. That doesn't mean that he can't help you. And you saw some good things. But even when I go back and look at the game that he played in Thursday night,
right.
you know, I thought he looked good. But I would expect him to against Terrell Sinkfield Jr., who's on his 14th NFL team, and Henri Colliver.
That's a big career right there, 14 teams.
Well, I don't know. Tom Curran tweeted that out. I have to go back and read the tweet. I don't know if he was counting his CFL teams.
Ah, okay.
Because Terrell Sinkfield Jr. did play in the CFL.
Gotcha.
And then also Henri Colliver, the guy that he beat for the touchdown, spent his time most recently in the old AAF.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That really went well. We have some breaking news here. Not good news either.
This is Breaking Sports News.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
According to Rap Sheet, Ian Rappaport, wide receiver / defensive back / special teamer extraordinaire Gunnar Olszewski has been waived.
This is breaking news.
Breaking news. Oh, breaking news for me. I was just talking about how I wanted him to make the team. He's been waived. Might get stashed on the practice squad. The pride of Bemidji State, which is a school most known for their curling, right? Isn't that Bemidji State? Aren't they the curling people?
Actually.
I think
Bankroll boys don't do curling.
We do, but I don't know.
The reason
that.
I looked over at you.
I don't know if that college is really ringing up there these days. I haven't.
Bemidji State is
I've
not the best curling team.
Bemidji State in my life
in curling.
I've never bet on it.
You've never bet on curling, period, or never bet on Bemidji State
bet
in curling?
On curling, yeah.
You have bet on curling.
Yeah, Olympic curling.
Olympic curling.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, the whole USA team, it's basically just Bemidji State. That's who it is. They're like a feeder to the
Olympics. You've
got to
look into this.
I think I might have to.
We need Joe to look into this. This needs to be a Bankroll boys discussion.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We got a big day today. The Oslewski news, though, a little surprising. My guy Nick Brossette's still hanging around.
Oslewski.
What'd I call him?
Oslewski? You just called him Oslewski.
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
It is.
Oslewski.
Right? How about Olszewski?
How about Olszewski?
Jesus.
I know he was on last night.
Listen, how about just Gunner?
You know what? We're just going to call him G.
G.
Big G. G-O.
G-O. The OG instead? The G-O.
Not going to play here anymore. How about that?
Yeah. If Nick Brossette goes, though, that's when I'll be upset. Okay. That was
really?
My guy.
You should just call him Guns. Just be, Guns is Guns.
Our man Guns.
Our man Guns.
R.I.P. Guns.
How do you say the name again?
Gunner Olszewski.
Olszewski. Okay.
I like your way better.
Luski.
Olszewski.
Olugi.
Blutarski.
You guys hear about Olszewski? Terrible, terrible. Anyway, he's been waived. That's the point. Gunner's been waived. So I guess I would say that probably secures Jacoby Meyer's spot here on the depth chart, unless they decide to cut down even more at the receiver position, which I hope they don't. N'Keal Harry's obviously still banged up a little bit. But between Gordon, Edelman, Thomas, Dorsett, Harry, and Myers, I think you got a pretty solid group there. If, you know, a lot of ifs, obviously.
There's a lot of ifs. A lot of ifs.
I look at that and I think that's not bad. Like I, you can start the season with that and feel pretty good about it. The tight end position's a whole other story, but in terms of pass catchers at wide receiver, I kind of like that group. I mean, I'm not doing backflips yet because it's Josh Gordon, and who knows what the hell is going to go on with him. And Thomas looked fine, but it was against the 14 player CFL team there. So
you're not unnerved at all by the Edelman thumb thing.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, I sort of feel like even if it is bad, it's something he'll play through. It's not like a torn ACL.
But why the heck was he out there?
I have no idea.
Drives me nuts. And people getting excited about Demaryius Thomas? Why? Like, I don't understand the excitement. He played against who?
You guys even mentioned it. Like
Terrell Stinkfield Jr. and Henry Tolliver.
Put some respect on their name, Jeff.
No, but for real, though, why are people so excited about this wide receiving group? Like, they're a bunch of fragile, like, non-dependable people. Like, none of them.
Other than Edelman.
Yeah, besides him, we don't even know if he's going to be doing punt returns. Like, what happens if he gets a hit during the season?
I don't think he'll be doing punt returns. I mean, maybe he will. Well, who knows?
Who's going to go back there?
Not a whole lot of other choices.
It's going to be the fair catch special, probably, with right. Patrick Chung. I mean, they're just going to fair catch everything.
Something like that. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Here's why. And it's not because I think they're great, all right? I'm not saying they're anything close to the best wide receiver group. It's not Randy Moss and Wes Welker out there, okay, by any means. But what I thought was going to be a black hole on this team.
That's fair.
Now is actually something I can look at and say, hey, there's some potential here. And there is. There's potential. Josh Gordon is nothing if not potential. Demaryius Thomas showed some potential. I don't know if he can do that against number ones and top defensive players, but he certainly did it in that game. I wasn't even sure he could do that. So that was something that opened my eyes. And really, it was the only thing worth watching in that game. That game was brutal. After the first quarter. Holy crap.
How about being in the press box for that whole game?
I can't even imagine. I cannot imagine.
Oof, that was tough. The one thing I'll say quickly on Demaryius Thomas is that it's just interesting to me how the narrative on him as a player has changed now that he's in preferred laundry.
Yeah.
Because Patriots fans love to rip that guy. That he was soft. Logan Ryan owned him. All he had to do was get physical with him. He wasn't a big game player. He wasn't a guy you could count on. This was all the stuff that was said around here. And then he slipped on a Patriots jersey, and now it's like he's Jerry Rice.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's ways to stop Demaryius Thomas. I think we all agree with that. I always liked him. I was never one of those Thomas haters. I liked him in Denver. I thought he was a good player.
Yeah, I've always liked him, too. I mean, he's a good player.
I always thought it was funny how Tim Tebow got all the credit for that pass against the Steelers in the wild card round when Thomas did everything.
Yeah, it was like
a five-yard slant. He caught it and ran 80 yards.
Thomas took
and everyone
to
was like,
house.
Wow, what a throw by Tebow. Like, no, actually.
They were just so stunned that he hit a guy in stride so he could get yak yards.
One of the only times that's ever happened in Tim Tebow's career. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone calls right after this.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, Arkin and for Murray here on Gasper and Murray. Joe Murray's in, though, so it's still technically Gasper and Murray, right?
It's true.
You're just sitting over there.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah, Gasper, Murray, and Arkin.
This is a more lucrative edition of Gasper.
I heard that you guys have a name for your show.
We have a name for our show?
The Gas Can.
I've not heard that.
I have not heard this.
How come I heard this? Who came up with this?
Sean Silver said Gas Can.
That's a good name.
I thought you guys came up with it.
Yeah.
We did not.
The Saturday Morning Gas Can. I like that. I'm into that.
It's a little bit of a stretch. I don't know how I feel about it, but if you guys
whatever,
want to
whatever, you're top listing.
I just say, put respect on our names.
Exactly. Put some spec on the name there.
I could be right in the intro, you know? Come up with a song you guys both like.
I'm into it. I can't sing, though. That's the other. Jim Murray, that guy, he can sing. You can sing.
There.
All the guys named Murray in this place can sing for some reason. I think any song, I've said this before, any song is better when Joe Murray sings it. And that goes for pop hits, that goes for rap songs, like whatever it is. If Joe Murray's singing it, it's better
than
the
original. That means Joe's like Andy from The Office. Like anything he sings
sometimes.
Is better.
Right.
Yeah, the Nard Dog.
Pretty much,
the Nard Dog.
So we were talking about the preseason week for Patriots. Really nothing to watch there, unless you liked watching Zolak shake his ass in the camera. Did anybody see that?
I saw it.
Zolak with the pants. Showing off his salmon pants, and then everybody eating ice cream for like 45 minutes. What was with the ice cream?
No, they were handing
out. Holy God, the ice cream just went on and on
and on. They handed out free like pints of this ice cream.
Except for
May Rod. Called Dough Your Job.
Dough Your Job.
Yeah.
Very clever.
Dough Your Job. I've never seen so many sports writers, both male and female, so thrilled as when they got that free pint of I did not partake in the ice cream. Little lactose intolerance.
Oh, well.
So
I have a situation there.
Yeah, I was not able to do it, but I've never seen so many people so happy.
Do you know Tom King from the National Telegraph?
I know Tom.
I can't imagine. He probably keeled over in his seat when he saw they were giving out free ice cream. And those spoons. Yeah. Those were the biggest spoons. Those were like cucchiads in the old Italian grandma's kitchen. What were those spoons? What is that how you're supposed to eat this with giant spoons?
I guess so. Oy. People were thrilled.
Actually, for the first 5 minutes when it was just Steve Burton on the field with those two people eating the ice cream, I was like, okay, this is kind of nice. And then they cut back up to Zolak with Bob Soucy and who else was up there?
Ninkovich.
They're all eating the ice cream. I'm like, okay. Then they go back to Burton on the field with the people again. I'm like, all right, enough with the ice cream. Please. Told you I'm in a mood today. But yeah, the ice cream thing went on way too long. But even that was more exciting than the second half of that game. That just, between the injuries, I think there were 15 flags thrown in that game altogether combined. Tons of injury timeouts. And you know it's guys just sort of leaving it all out in the field. So I don't even really have a problem with that. But is there a pace of play issue maybe brewing here with the NFL? Because one thing they really emphasized this offseason, and for God help me, I don't know why, they're really emphasizing offensive holding this year. That's a really important point of emphasis for the NFL, which sounds like torture to me. And I can't imagine why they thought that was something worth emphasizing, but they are. And I don't know. I just sort of, that was an almost 4-hour game last night in the preseason. There's no excuse for that.
Yeah. You know, but I will say it could have been worse. It was more interesting than most preseason games because, you know, you had Jared Stidham throwing to the A-team receivers.
Right, in the first quarter.
I mean,
which
it did
fine,
drag on for, trust me, Arkin. I mean, it dragged on forever. I mean, the last 4 minutes of that game were like the last 2 minutes of an NBA game. It was brutal. It was absolutely brutal. I mean, it was a total advertisement for why you need to do away with, you know, preseason games and or at least playing for them. But, you know, it's over now. They're all meaningful from here on out. But I did want to say quickly, though, because we've been talking about why would those guys, you know, why would Edelman be out there? Why would Demaryius Thomas be out there? Why would you have Josh Gordon out there in the fourth preseason game? And I think it was not so much about those guys as it was about Stidham. I think they wanted to see what Stidham looked like with the A-team receivers. And I think it speaks to how they feel about Stidham, that they trusted him enough to put those guys out there with him. And they trusted him to not make bad decisions or put those guys in harm's way. And even the thing with Edelman, I mean, that was bad, but that wasn't his fault.
No.
Now, do I think Edelman should have been out there? No, because Edelman, you know, Edelman could roll out of bed and catch passes in this offense.
Right.
And the reality is he won't be catching them from Stidham. He'll be catching them from Brady. But I thought that was a little audition for Stidham. It's like, hey, if you have to be the backup and something happens to Tom this year and we have to put you in, what kind of rapport do you have with these guys?
Yeah, and I thought he actually looked fine. There was a couple of throws that went like behind Gordon, and I think there was one that went, I think it was Thomas's first catch. Do you remember this? Thomas catches the ball, and then he like Hulk stomped the ground. Did you see that? It was quick.
No.
But it was an awkward sort of plant that he took, and I was like, oh, well, there we go. Nice knowing you, DT. But he was fine after that, and it was sort of because the pass was somewhat behind him, so he had to adjust to get it and then just took this awkward step. But it didn't end up being anything, so, you know, no big deal there. I was impressed by Stidham all preseason, most through camp. Everybody said that he was more accurate than Jimmy Garoppolo. People were saying that. Jeff Howe said that in, like, the first, you know, 2 weeks or
so.
Yeah,
Jeff was an early adopter
here.
When it came to Stidham.
He said that on the air with us, actually, when Jones and I were filling in on the morning show, and we were both sort of taken aback by it, but since then, it's, you know, made some sense here. Stidham's, I think, impressed at every level with every grouping that he's had, except maybe, I guess, the second half of that last game, and he has taken some sacks and had some rookie mistakes, but that's what rookies do, and he's not expected to go out there and start. I'm thinking that the Stidham train is well out of the station, and we're all set here. Is Brian Hoyer going to make this team, too?
You know, I go back and forth on this one. I just think they're all in on Stidham, and with some of the roster holes they have elsewhere, that carrying three quarterbacks is maybe a luxury. On the other hand, though, you know, let's see what happens with guys that get put on IR. Like, you know, that Yelder Froholt injury on Thursday, maybe that opened up a roster spot that makes it easier to keep three. At this point, I'm still leaning towards two, and part of it would be I think you could trade Hoyer and maybe, you know, recoup some of the draft picks you've had to give up here to buttress the offensive line. Mm. So if you were to do that, and it just feels like, I kind of feel like they're all in on Stidham. You know, I said this on Felger and Maz. There's this element here of Bill wanting to prove he can find the next guy or that he can win with the next guy, that it's not all about Tom. And I feel like that's part of the reason we're being force-fed Jared Stidham in this preseason.
If Hoyer makes the team and Stidham's on the team too, and Brady stubs his toe in week one, who goes in the game?
I would, well, if Hoyer's on the team, I would assume it would be Hoyer.
I would think so too,
otherwise,
but
why
I don't really want him to.
But like, otherwise, why are you keeping
why
him?
Why keep him at all?
Yeah, if he's not the first guy up. And here's the difference to me with Hoyer. And like, Hoyer's played well. Hoyer's done absolutely nothing to lose his job. It's just about the roster crunch and sort of the fact that the Patriots seem to be all in on Stidham. But the difference between these two guys is the backup, for me, Arcan, is that if Hoyer had to play four or five games, I think he could keep you afloat enough that you could still get one of the first-round buys. If Stidham had to play those games, I don't know, because he's a rookie. And so maybe if he plays five games, maybe you go 1-4 because he's just not ready. Whereas if you play five games with Hoyer, I think you go 3-2 or 4-1, you know, and that's sort of the difference. And that could be the difference in seeding. And we know how much seeding and having that bye makes a difference for the Patriots.
Yeah. 617-779-0985. That is your phone number. We have the headlines here. No commercials, just headlines from Jeopardy Joe Murray. Then we'll get into some, some interesting things Rob Gronkowski had to say. And really, after this week, Andrew Luck and what he had to say, Rob Gronkowski and his little CBD TED talk, we'll talk about what kind of week this really was for the NFL. We'll do that right after the headlines here. No commercials, 90 seconds, then we're right back.
The Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit Flutie Foundation.org to get involved.